I have to do it again.
Let me join in too.
Look, you better foghorn Sugar Booker.
Before they get in your business, be in charge of your business. Own it, cause it's your business. Your business, business. Handle all of your business. Value all of your business. You say you're minding your business. My business.
What's up? What's up? What up? My son's been watching Martin, and that was a terrible Martin impersonation, but what's up, good people? Welcome into Montgomery & Co. I'm Renee Montgomery.
And listen, I know we're talking trophies, but we gotta watch how we talk about champions. We're gonna get all into it. Talk nice to champs.
We have Erica Ayala coming on. She's the founder of Black Rosie Media. She's going to talk a little Stanley Cup Finals, but also being Black in media. Then we have the first Black player in the NWHL, who is now a scout for the LA Kings, Blake Bolden. And last but not least, we're going to introduce a new segment, the Commissioner's Cup, where we're going to give you the 101 on all things the WNBA Commissioner's Cup till the next 4 weeks when it happens. Let's go! The BET Awards were this week, and it was star-studded. Diddy received the Lifetime Award, which was presented by Kanye. And y'all know that Kanye was Kanye. He came in a full-on all-Black ensemble. He announced that he really wanted to be dead for a year, announced himself as dead for a year, but he had to come out of his dead retirement to present this to Diddy for his lifetime achievement. He also said something that was like, wow, Kanye. He said, as much as Diddy has done for music, we need to answer when he calls. And so I thought that that was very coherent and great of Kanye. So that happened. Diddy thanked Cassie while his girlfriend held up a sign that said, go Poppy or something like that. That was interesting. Twitter went crazy, of course, as you could assume. Taraji hosted the awards, and I swear that I saw that sometimes Taraji turned into Cookie when they had those technical difficulties, and I actually loved it. Like, I loved everything about it. Bad Boy Entertainment will always be an elite set. I tweeted that out if you follow me, but it remains true that when he brings out all of his people, it's an instant party. It was all kinds of stars there, not just those ones that I'm listing. Bruno Mars was on there. They had a Best Actress category that I felt was completely impossible. But back to Bruno Mars, he said something that I thought that was really dope. He said, everyone knows how important the BET Awards show is. And I thought that's dope because he's right. Anything for the culture is important. Diddy doubled down on that concept and he donated $1 million to coach Deion Primetime Sanders and his Jackson State Jaguars. He also donated $1 million to Howard, but the reasoning behind it was he said, we should play for us. So there was a lot of messaging going on in the BET Awards. There was a lot of shenanigans going on in the BET Awards. There was a lot of everything, but it was star-studded and it looked like we showed up for us. So that's what I took from the BET Awards. And I think that we should continue this with all of the separation and the different things going on, whether it's governmental or whether it's just in your community, whether it's online, whether you and your friends got beef. I don't know. I'm just saying we could do better, and the BET Awards showed us that.
I'm over makeup because now it's becoming a racket. It's almost like a summer and a winter wardrobe type thing. And an in-between, because I am on the lighter side. So my shades can range from light to almost dark. And so I just bought a very expensive concealer and stuff and then put it on and look like a ghost. Still see I look like a ghost.
Okay, but in the summer you shouldn't need that makeup because of the sun. It'll tan your skin and give it a nice glow without that. So
Cole, your skin does look beautiful.
It does.
I'm just tired of it because the thing is, and you know what? Some people are like, oh, I love makeup. This is great. But when I go to the place, first of all, you know, they're like, okay, which makeup do you want? And they have about
Rihanna
30,000.
No. Me, baby.
Yeah. I went there initially and then I had some problems with some of the colors and how they meshed and whatever. So after they make you wipe most of your skin off with these alcohol tabs, after they dab on this side, dab on that side, you come out with something, and then here comes summer, and then you look like a ghost. I literally was like, I'm over this.
That's
no
a real
longer,
problem, though.
That this is no longer problem. What I want to do. Yeah.
Well, you should have called your mom and asked her. I would have told you you didn't need it for the summer.
Sometimes you do.
Cookabooka, we need makeup, baby. I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes I don't care if it's summer or not.
We tell you what, I wear sunglasses a lot. So if I'm in the sun,
you become a raccoon.
Exactly. And so you do need something to even up under your sunglasses sometimes. I sat on the field with Vance for like 4 hours with sunglasses on. I can tell you that was two different shades. So then you try to match it up and then you look like a ghost under your eyes and the rest of you is golden. It's just, I'm over it.
Well, we shouldn't be talking about shades after what's going on with Steph Curry.
What's going on?
Skip Bayless was making light skin remarks saying that the light skin Steph Curry was playing and not this Steph Curry or whatever he was saying that was totally just stupid.
What? I put it in the chat. You didn't see it?
I did not. I'm sorry, Snook.
Let me just catch you up. Skip Bayless should not be making light skin jokes when you have no skin pigment at all. That's not
exactly.
I'm really confused.
Hold on. Are y'all talking about the Golden State Warriors are notoriously known as the team of light skin?
No. He specifically called out Steph Curry and said the light skins.
His play was light. He was playing.
He's light. Playing light skin.
Oh.
It is inappropriate for him to make light skin jokes. I don't care what you say. He is without pigment. That is not a joke that he should be telling.
And then he said it, and sometimes he even was a ghost.
Oh.
Wow. No way.
It was real white of him, wasn't it?
Yes, that was not. That's not right. No, seriously, that's not right. You can't make light skin jokes. That's a colorism issue.
Because I was going to say, I've seen these jokes about, you know, like how Steph Curry puts on for the, you know, like he's the captain of the light skins. Drake is the co-captain. Like I've seen those things like on the internet, like the light skin jokes versus the, you know, brown skin, dark skin jokes. So I thought that that's what we were talking about. But then I just realized.
This is how many of them light skins in one. You see how many of them light skins them won? I think they won four. The light skins.
Are you putting on four? Like, what's going on? Are you repping your set?
No. The light skins won four.
She's saying they won call four them of them.
The light skins
and
took home four championships. Look, exactly. So.
Roy said Draymond Green won two. So this is. I mean,
and that's the end of the spectrum.
Okay, I'm with it now. I'm all the way up to speed because I was like, I've been seeing the light skin thing joke all the time, but
yes,
I just
colorism.
Realized that we're saying Skip Bayless.
Yes,
Skip Bayless.
Mm. Oh, and he doubled down on it a couple times in the interview. He doubled down.
What did he say exactly? So it was on what is the name of his show again?
Undisputed.
He tweeted it.
It's a tweet.
If you read the article, it's in the tweet.
And Shannon Sharpe sat there and he actually rode side saddle to that foolishness. So I have a problem with that too, because that should have been something he always wants to shut down something. That's something he should have shut down. But like you can't say that. You know, he's always shutting down everybody else. Like
wow.
And that's not something you could do, and that's not something you could say.
Even if it was Stephen A. Smith who said
either.
That is a real problem because it's like it don't, and nobody's spared from colorism. If you light skin, you get it. If you dark skin, you get it. You know, it don't even matter.
I mean, even with Serena, like people don't know that, you know, like her descent or anything.
All
so
the time.
It's like people don't know. And so colorism is a thing.
It's ridiculous.
You know, they've called Cole
definitely.
Yellow since
mellow
I can
yellow. Mellow
yeah, they
yellow.
Call her mellow yellow.
That's what they used to sing all the time.
They used to sing that to Cole all
mellow,
the time.
Mellow. And before we would hear those things and we wouldn't even think anything wrong. Before we would hear these kind of things and they wouldn't even be nothing wrong because it would be like people within our own cultures saying that to us. So we wouldn't even, it would almost be a joke. But now people are starting to open their eyes and saying, no, hold on. That's not okay. Stop with all that stuff.
It's caused a lot of rifts in families. I can just
definitely.
Tell you down through the years, it has really been something that can really cause a lot of pain.
So basically, sum it all up, if it's getting to the point to where when we talk about colorism that we don't even want, if you are of the pigment, we're saying at this point, it's kind of like, are the jokes as funny anymore? I know they used to say it's pretty much
not.
Maybe it's ran its narrative, but to that further extent, TV personalities, you know, it's like if that's the narrative that you're pushing on, that's tough, you know, in the sense of especially Skip Bayless. And I know that y'all are saying like no one should, but I think that if you aren't of the culture,
especially not Skip Bayless.
Yeah. If you aren't of the culture, you definitely can't get in on these jokes. Like some jokes just ain't for you. And we're saying even the colorism, like like Snooks talked about, it's rift families for generations. But mm-hmm. we're saying you can't get in on the joke if you ain't in on the joke. Like, that's just like, if you ain't a part right. of the joke, like, I've seen people call her mellow yellow, high yellow, all of that. So if she made a joke or two, we're like, yeah, Cole, you know, that probably is dead. We probably shouldn't make those jokes anymore. But she's in on the joke.
Thank you.
So you can't be in on the joke if you ain't in on the joke. That's all I'm mm-hmm. saying.
Yeah, I even catch Angel sometimes, even if he makes any comments about, oh, I'm going to get too dark in the sun. I'm like, so what? What's wrong with that? Even though you are black, you can't talk like that. Don't talk. There's nothing wrong with being too dark. There's nothing wrong with being too light. Yep. I don't want to hear those kind of jokes. I catch him when he says things like that, because I don't want him to think that jokes like that or anything yeah. to say like that, even if he wasn't joking, is okay to say.
So I'm about sick of it. But to the whole point of, I'm over makeup.
So back
how
to
it started. I'm over
so
makeup.
So back to where Cole started. She's over makeup because over when she makeup. Gets tan, her makeup is no longer
it
useful.
Is irrelevant.
Once you're tan, you don't need it.
Ma, I just
Bye,
told you
Snook.
Why.
Bye, Snook. Everybody ain't got the skin you got. Bye, Snook.
Perfect skin.
Next, we have the founder of Black Rosie Media, Erica Ayala.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Erica, welcome back, fam of the show. If you all weren't listeners in the very, very beginning, Erica been down since remotely Renee days. She's the founder of Black Rosie Media, been a journalist on multi-sports. So welcome back to Montgomery & Company.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's lovely to see y'all.
Yes, it's lovely to have you back. And now I kind of already spilled the beans. I was going to let you tell us what's changed since the last time you've been here. But please tell us, starting out with Black Rosie Media, baby, because we love to see it.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, so since last time we spoke, I went through what's called an accelerator program, and I got some help to just get some of the ideas that I had out of my head and onto paper and into the world. And one of the problems, we were asked to tackle a problem that we see in an industry. So I chose sports, and I think that we do see a problem when it comes to representation, particularly for those who identify as women, as Black women in sports media. And so I had an idea to create an outlet that would put Black women and other melanated creators first and foremost. So everything that you see edited, written, produced, etc., by Black women and melanated people and faces. And so that's where the idea of Black Rosie Media came from. We launched in May 3rd. And so in just a month and some days, we've already started to see some traction. So I'm really
Let's
excited.
Go.
Yes.
That's next, amazing. Next,
next. Creators of color are looking for support, and we're providing that at Black Rosie Media.
Love it.
Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah. I just have to jump in right here and say this, because Renee and I just had this conversation at least once a week, but we just had it a few days ago. And one of the things I'm talking about now is there's so much emphasis on gender equity. But I'm talking about the lack of diversity in gender equity. And that's what my montage is now, is that I'm talking about. Yeah, we want better gender equity and everything. And we see some companies trying to do that. But I just don't think it's a big enough push as far as adding some diversity to that.
So congratulations on starting your company.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
And changing that narrative.
No, I know you're changing the narrative. And speaking of that, changing the narrative, hockey. Okay, so hockey is a sport that not a lot of people from the community watches hockey, okay? And I even saw some of your tweets that was hilarious. She was like, that's what happens when you give the mic to the HNIC. Now, I thought that was hilarious because we get what you mean, girl. It was tell me about that moment. What happened there for the people like me that maybe weren't watching all the moments of hockey? Like, give us some context to what happened.
In hockey, one of the first things that blew my mind is I kept seeing HNIC, HNIC. And so growing up, I could just hear, I was hearing the voices of the uncles from the neighborhood.
Yes.
And then I realized that that acronym in hockey stands for Hockey Night in Canada. Every time I hear HNIC in hockey, I think it's the funniest thing because your point, Renee, hockey's not known to be very diverse. There's not, Black people have revolutionized hockey since before the turn of the last century, but it's one of those like hidden figure type things.
Well, tell me about it. Wait a minute. What do you mean by that? I have no idea how Black people have revolutionized hockey. Tell me more.
Okay, so you need to know about the Colored Hockey League in Nova Scotia, Canada. And so Black athletes, very similar to what we know as the Negro Leagues throughout North America, so that would include Canada, but they would play baseball in the summer, spring months into the fall. But once it got too cold, those same athletes would transition over to ice hockey, particularly in Nova Scotia. And so things like the slap shot, a lot of people say that comes from a batting motion or going down on the ice as a goaltender. If you look at some of the NHL games early on, you see that the goaltenders, even like the Miracle on Ice 1980s, the style was for the goalie to stand upright. Now you see the goalies doing full splits. That came from in the early 1900s, Black hockey players, goalies would go down on the ice and make stops and saves on the ice.
Wow.
So those are ways that, again, Black people have always been involved in hockey. But flash forward to, you don't see a lot of Black faces on the ice, in the C-suite, or even on the broadcast. But there is a Black man, David Amber, and he is the host of HNIC.
Yeah, I know you lying, Erica. I know you lying.
I swear I'm not.
Oh, my God.
That is very, very funny. That is.
I'm done. So hold on a second.
That is hilarious.
Black Rosie Media. This is what you get. Black Rosie Media. I had to just drop you a line because, look, I really didn't know that. I knew all about the Black Negro Leagues. Look, I know about the ATA when it comes to tennis, the tennis matches in Harlem. I hear about all of that. I did not hear about how Black people have revolutionized hockey. So the more you know, and that brings me to the Stanley Cup Finals, which is going on. We'll actually just finish. We've crowned our champion. But what I also like to hear, first of all, tell me about the winners, because I hear that there was like different things going on. You got to explain it for people that may not watch every game, Erica.
So you had the Tampa Bay Lightning were from the Eastern Conference, and they've won the last two Stanley Cups. We haven't seen a team in the National Hockey League do a three-peat since. Might have been, I believe it was probably the Edmonton Oilers. And you know what? Their goalie was Black. Graham Fuhr, look it up. So they were a heavy favorite coming in. And then you have a Colorado Avalanche team. A lot of people are, I'm going to put it like this. You know how people say, like, the Golden State Warriors, they play boring basketball, baka, baka, baka. Boring or not, they got the Stanley Cup. Boring or not, they the NBA champs. And a lot of people say that about Colorado. Strong defensive team. Their defenders are some of the best offensive players in the regular season. And then that also translated into the playoffs. And it was the Colorado's first Stanley Cup win in the last 21 years. So this is their third overall, and just really two titans of NHL in the last handful of seasons, especially with Tampa looking to do that three-peat, but wasn't happening. Colorado got it done in game six.
That's so lit. And so thank you for that. Like, I understood everything, nice. Okay, right. Without knowing nothing. So thank
every
you very
word,
much for that breakdown.
Word,
so that's
yes.
Who just won the Stanley Cup Finals. Tell a friend that you know what's going on in the NHL now. This also brings me to, you don't only just cover hockey. Like, I remember you from the WNBA, covering the WNBA. I know that you're covering a lot of different sports. So for me, I'm just curious, like, we've seen a lot of talk about Roe versus Wade. So I'm curious, from you being a media company that leans into representation, this all feels like a common problem of just rights being taken. And so I'm just curious your thoughts.
Wow. That's, I mean, there's so much. And last time we were on here, we were talking, of course, about John Lewis and the legendary John Lewis. You know, I'm gonna get back to your question, but you know, they still have not passed the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. So those are just some of the things that are still on the table. But Roe v. Wade now also under attack the day after we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Title IX, and you see that women's bodies are being legislated in a massive way. And you even have the Clarence Thomases of the world coming for other legislation and making equality political, but in a dangerous way, making equality political in a way where we use the lazy excuses of religion and safety as a reason to legislate what women can and cannot do. And yes, this definitely impacts women's bodies and the autonomy of their bodies, but we also have to think about the families that they have currently and the partnerships that they're in and how this is affecting and impacting those partnerships as well. So those are things that people might say stick to sports, but listen, when we're talking about sports and when we're talking about policies or thinking about places like the WNBA, thinking about even women's hockey where women, I mean, we see that, you know, track stars had to fight also just for having maternity leave. These are things that impact athletes. Yes. And if athletes, as examples, are limited to how they can discern when and how they want to start their families because of something that the Supreme Court is doing, of course it's going to impact sports because it impacts all of us.
You.
So there's a lot that I could say about what's happening politically and how that impacts, including, you know, I heard Snook talking about Title IX. And here's the thing, going back to Title IX, if you look, there's been studies done in the last 20 years or so of Title IX in particular, we've seen an adverse effect for Black girls and women, because as schools now have to be Title IX compliant, they really focus on what they consider growth sports. And those growth sports tend to be sports that are played by white girls and women and not girls and women of color.
Wow. I have to do it again.
Let me join in too. Bah, bah, bah,
bah. But I'm just trying to show the versatility here because, Erica, I'm sure that at a certain point you've had a problem with access. So we've had you talk about now the National Hockey League, Roe versus Wade. We know you cover the WNBA. You've been an analyst for the NWHL. So I just want to talk about now access, because it seems like you're very qualified at all of these. Why did you feel the need to have a media company?
Wow, that is a great question.
It's loaded. Watch, Erica. It's loaded.
We could definitely do a whole series on that, but I'll keep it concise as possible. As I was very fortunate to have opportunities to write at places like Sports Illustrated or the New York Times, places like ESPN, I started noticing that the same old me, you know, like, same old E. I used to notice that I would show up to games, and when I was working at independent outlets, my seat would change as my outlet changed. And I started noticing that, again, I had these opportunities, and I'm very grateful for those opportunities, but there were people that were there before me. There were people that continued on certain beats even after I transitioned to other things, that their access never changed. The consistency of their work was not valued at the same level of mainstream media. And there's a numbers game for sure. Mm-hmm. That being said, I sometimes push back when people say more is more, because we know that more is not more for everyone. And more is almost never more for Black women, unless we make it a point for more to be more for us. And usually that means somebody else down messed up somewhere. And we're ready because we've always been there.
We've been ready.
And so Black Rosy Media wants to be a place where we're not reacting to someone saying something out of pocket, which they kind of sort of had already been, you know, low-key saying anyway. We don't want to react to that. We don't want to react to, oh, it's International Women's Day. Let's have Erica and Kelly Schultz call actually a Colorado Avalanche game at New Jersey Devils. You know, that was an amazing opportunity. Thank you. An amazing opportunity to call an NHL game on the radio. And I want to make sure that other people have, other women, other Black women and women of color have those opportunities more regularly. We are often asked to, if when we do get those opportunities, again, coming under less than ideal circumstances, and often we have to prepare with a lot less time than people who get their first break, as an example, in the NHL might get if they were kind of primed and exactly.
That's a good point.
Prepared. Yeah. You're right. It is a good point, because as you were saying it, I was like, yeah, because, you know, even though we get our chance when someone else messes up, we're not getting the proper amount of time to prepare to be great. So we can't do what everybody else does. We have to be on point 24/7, which is really, yeah, it's a very unfair advantage, because you can probably do much more if we had so much more time. And
yes,
you're
there's
right.
So
that's
many
exactly
elements
what's going
Black
on.
Rosy yeah. Media is and will continue to grow to be as holistic and wrap around as possible, because there are a lot of different needs. There's certain Black people and melanated creators that are already working with, I spoke to someone today, already shooting as a photographer for Major League Baseball, the NFL, and then went to another pro league and was kind of given the runaround. Like, you know, it's not enough to work with these leagues as you then look to transition. Right. You have other people who, you know, are looking for their first opportunity. And then you have other people who've already had their first opportunity, but they're realizing even at the entry level that their pay scale is extremely different than people with similar or sometimes less experience than they have.
Less.
And Black Rosy Media wants to, and I do as a founder and an owner, do things differently. And part of what I do is I don't set a rate. The reason I don't do that is twofold. One is that I need to work as an owner on knowing how to negotiate. And I know that other people need to know that as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a conversation. Let's see what the value added is. Let's see what the event calls for. And then we will move accordingly. And so I do really want to empower creators when they have a conversation with Black Rosy Media to feel comfortable and confident asking for their value. And sometimes it won't work out. If it ain't in the budget, it ain't in the budget. These are conversations that we can have. And these are conversations that happen in business. Unfortunately, a lot of people that look like a lot of us on this screen are iced out of being able to have those at a professional level.
And you know, that actually brings me to something when you talk about diversity, because you're a Black Latina. So people think that diversity looks one way, but diversity is Latino, diversity is Black, diversity is a bunch of different things. So I love that you, because I feel like the more that we become inclusive, we also become exclusive, in a sense of we want to define what diversity looks like. Well, no, diversity, there is a lot of different diversity, but there's certain groups that don't receive as much assistance. And those two groups are the exact ones that you are, you know, a Black Latina. So the Black women, Latino women, if you look at the pay scale, if you look at entertainment on TV, the representation, the amount of hosts, the amount of analysts, the amount of people that are sitting that are Black women or Latino women, you will see a very large disparity from other. And I think that's what Snook has been hitting on a part of. It's not just gender equality. You know, there's diversity. There's that diversity piece that's also very important, because if you don't ask for it, it ain't going to happen. You know, like people just think that things are just going to automatically evolve over time. But I think the point of people making things like Black women photography, who we use for the Atlanta Dream, you know, that we're very proud to have them as our official photographers. Like, it's not like, oh, these are side chick photographers. You know what I mean? Like, these is our officially official photographers. And there's a reason for that, because we understand that access does matter.
Access and education too.
Well, I was just going to add just real quick that, you know, everybody's wowing about the accomplishments that women are making at this point in history or whatever. But when you really look at it and you look at what's going on, you have to look at that a lot of our young people won't be able to do things, because if you can see it, you can be it. And so even with the gender, and it's a female, whatever, but if you're not seeing it in your particular culture, then it's still just as far away as it was before.
Renee said access is very important. I mean, just to add to that, education is also very important. What you're doing, you know, educating the people that you're working with, that's something that you don't see from, really, I can't really think of any company that does that, you know, that empowers the client, as, you know, and not just the company. You're like, no, tell me your number. Let's negotiate this. You know, a lot of times as a business, you see that the company is only in it for their numbers and their business, you know. So kudos to what you're doing. And you know, like you talk about Black and Latina, Renee talked and Snook talked about diversity and the lack of diversity in both cultures. You have a startup, Renee, she's very into the VC world. We see the numbers, less than 2% go to women, period. Even less go to Black women, even less goes to Latina women. So,
facts.
You know, what you're doing and what your startup is just amazing on all fronts. So congrats again.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And I appreciate you elevating the education piece, because I think we talked about this last time I was on the show, but I come from a background of nonprofit and specifically policy work. And the work that I did was to be a youth leadership development expert. And so I'm bringing all of that back now with my own business and having autonomy. I can bring that back. And it's a very full circle moment for me. But there is this spectrum of change. And sometimes you are like Mother Teresa style, you see a problem, and so you feed the poor. And then there's people in the middle in the policy space where they are educating people and they're advocating, especially with what we see what's happening with the Supreme Court. You're giving people what's happening and also educating them on how it impacts them and what the future could look like if we just change and pivot and tilt the frame. And then you have, you know, your Brie Newsome, I'm gonna climb up a flagpole and rip down the Confederate flag type change, which is the radical change where you're not accepting the status quo, you're not accepting what exists as it is, and you are actively changing what you want to see operate differently. And so Black Rosie Media, if we directly aren't operating in those different silos, and it comes from the Midwest Academy, it's their spectrum of change. If we're not directly operating in those five or so buckets, we're then going to partner with people. I love that you brought up, Renee, Black women photographers, because they already have a really great model for photographers. And so I don't need to replicate that model. I was lucky enough to talk with Polly, and I've been able to hire people that have been in that space. And so now it's like, what does replication in for Black women producers look like, for Black women writers look like, for Black women podcasters look like? And some of these mechanisms already exist. And now it's about coming closer to the middle and giving people options to be that Mother Teresa or to be that Brie Newsome, but all in the vein of changing the landscape of our profession.
I love that. The spectrum of change. Yes. Renee always talks about the different forms of advocacy. Because like you said, being an advocate doesn't only look just one way.
Facts.
You know, Ava DuVernay also talks about narrative change. We also just started our production company, Think Tank Productions, and it kind of has a similar, you know, mission as yours also, just to give a voice and create that narrative change to the people that come from the communities and the cultures, and to tell these stories, you know, the cultures that we don't necessarily see a lot of storytellers come from. So that's amazing.
Hence the HNIC. You will understand why that's hilarious, but the ones that get it, if you know, you know.
You know.
Black Rosie Media is a community for Black women and melanated creators in sports media. And Erica Ayala, we thank you for hopping on here again with us. Now called Montgomery & Co., but you've been down since remotely. Renee, thank you for hopping on.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And please keep up the good work.
Yes.
Yes.
It's going to be a long work, but good work. It's that good trouble. Just keep getting in that good trouble.
Hey, I like that.
Cole, Serena, tell me everything you know about the Commissioner's Cup to date.
I know that it's a way of highlighting, I guess, the top teams and having them have something worth competing for, because the way I understand it is the winning team gets a little monetary bonus.
Okay. Cole, what do you know about the Commissioner's Cup?
That's about all I know. And I didn't even know about the bonus part, but I did know. I thought it was a way to highlight the top teams. That was the only thing I really knew. But Mom went a step further with the bonus. Thank you for the information. I did not know that part.
Serena?
So the Commissioner's Cup game, before the actual game, there's other little games that lead up to the Commissioner's Cup. So I guess if two teams from the same conference play together, that's a Commissioner's Cup game. And I guess the ones who win the most of those Commissioner Cup games get to go to the Commissioner Cup, like, I guess, championship. And so whoever wins that then gets to win money. Am I correct?
Okay, yes. We're along the lines of correct. I like this. I like this. So the Commissioner's Cup. We're going to learn all about it today on MoCo, because the Commissioner's Cup is dope. It's new, so no one should feel bad, because last year was the first year. The Commissioner's Cup is presented by Coinbase. So, okay, get some coins out. And it tipped off the opening weekend of the regular season. Serena, you mentioned it. Snook, you mentioned it. Everybody mentioned it. There's a lot of money involved. How much money? $500,000, $30,000 per player on the winning team. So if you're on the winning team of the Commissioner's
Cup. I'm playing for it, baby. I'm going for it all. You can believe that.
Oh, my goodness. $30,000 per player on the winning team of the Commissioner's Cup. So I have people's attention now?
Yeah, you got my attention. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you that right now.
All right, person. So per person. So this is what makes it like really big and really different. So this is the second annual in-season competition, and it'll feature 61 games taking place through the first half of the 2022 regular season game. So the reason they say the first half is because it starts on opening night and it runs all the way through to July 26th, which is when the championship game is. Now, if you're on the winning team, like we told you, the winning team wins $30,000 per player. You can also have a chance to win $5,000 for the MVP. So if you are on the winning team and you win the MVP, you get $35,000. Now, here's the part that I thought was pretty dope, in a sense of like, okay, everybody ain't going to be on the winning team. What about the losers? Well, if you're the runner up on the Commissioner's Cup, you still get $10,000 per person.
Wow. Okay. I'll take that. That's something to go for. Yes.
Is there any way for the fans to win money or anything?
Right.
Can the fans get a coin?
Can we get in on the action?
That's what I'm trying to say. And so then there's also a little charitable part that goes to it. There's donations. Each team chooses a charity that they want to donate to. And so that charity, the Atlanta Dream, chose the King Center because this year is our 15th anniversary. We wanted to get it back into our roots. And so we chose to team up with the King Center. But there will be other groups, other teams are picking other places to donate. For instance, Chicago Sky picked My Block, My Hood, My City. Connecticut Sun picked the League of Women Voters. Dallas Wings, This Is Project Texas. The Indiana Fever picked Indiana Black Expo. The Aces picked ACLU of Nevada. The Sparks picked the Human Rights Campaign, Minnesota, ACLU of Minnesota. New York Liberty picked A Little Piece of Light. Phoenix picked Black Mothers Forum, Seattle, ACLU. Washington Mystics, Alliance of Youth Action. So there are a lot of different organizations that are going to be basically benefiting from the Commissioner's Cup, because every time you win, so if your team wins, every time you win, a donation will be collected for the group that you choose to donate to. And then on the Commissioner's Cup, they get all their lump sum and then some, because the Commissioner's going to throw in a little more. So the Commissioner's Cup is a pretty cool thing that's going on. And the reason that it came about is because obviously there's a lot of talk about needing more money in women's sports and different things of that nature. And so the Commissioner basically wanted to find a way to add more money. So let me ask y'all this. If it was $30,000 up for grab and you're playing in the Commissioner's Cup, what's your energy going to be like?
What?
I'm coming for some heads. I'm ready to win.
What?
Very, very off the charts. She'll probably have to hold me down from the day before the game.
Yes. They'll be like, all right, you need to calm down because you're going to get hurt. Don't let us get down by two. Everybody about to right. Do better.
So that's kind of the concept, just so everyone understands. Like, the concept is there's a lot of money on the line. Teams are playing for a lot. And so it's exciting. It's new. Last year, the Seattle Storm beat the Connecticut Sun.
Yeah,
last year, Seattle Storm beat the Connecticut Sun. And by the way, the WNBA is going to donate $2,000 to the winning team's chosen organization and an additional $500 to the losing team's chosen organization. So again, wow, this is a lot. And to spotlight the championship, and that's per game, by the way. So if you win, you start tallying up that money. And then also to spotlight the championship.
Well,
game,
I didn't know they win money per game. That's really cool.
Yeah. So you collect money per game and then you got a tally at the end. And then that's how much is donated to your organization that you chose. So the King Center. So we got our first win against the Indiana Fever of our Commissioner's Cup. That's $2,000 right there. And that's going to keep carrying over. And then you start to tally it up. And then if we make it, so you have to make it to the Commissioner's Cup for your organization to benefit. But if we make it to the Commissioner's Cup, then the King Center is going to get all the money that we've collected along the way. And then the WNBA is donating an additional $10,000 to them for the championship game. So there's a lot of money going around on this Commissioner's Cup.
That's awesome. It's about time. Now, if we can get about 5 or 6 more Coinbases to add to the Commissioner's Cup. Seriously, if we get at least 5 or 6 more Coinbase companies to donate to the Commissioner's Cup.
Either way,
if they do it, that's what I'm saying. It's because then the more money that comes to the organization as far as that's concerned, the more the money the WNBA has in order to continue this. But the thing is that just 5 or 6 more with the same amount of money.
So
then
Coach said she won $1 million prize for that Commissioner's Cup.
You
got to remember, this is only a game within a game. This ain't for the whole season now. This is just for the Commissioner's Cup.
Build it up.
My hope is, now last year, I'm not real sure where the broadcast was available to individuals for, but I just hope that it's enough hoopla around it that it's mainstream on a national television station.
I'm glad you asked, Snookabooka.
So that people who don't look at sports like ESPN channels or all of that would be able to enjoy it as well and hopefully build the base of fans for the league.
Okay, Snook. Well, Snook dropped the mic on me, but since you said that, let me go ahead and mention that there will be all of the Commissioner's Cup games will be shown. So all 61 by 6 WNBA media partners, Prime Video, ABC, ESPN Networks, CBS Television Networks, and CBS Sports Networks, NBA TV, Facebook, and Twitter. So all 61 games will be available for you to view some way or another.
Good.
So that's the growth right there. So we're looking forward to it. We're going to have Nancy Lieberman come on. We're going to be talking all about the Commissioner's Cup. But we're going to just keep you guys informed. Tap in. The WNBA season is upon us.
Yes.
Next, we have Blake Bolden, who was the first black player in the NWHL and now a scout for the LA Kings. Sports is not easy to do, and we are here with Blake Bolden, baby, okay? You were the first for a lot of different things, and people, you know, like, I was the first for certain things. What is that like, that experience like, where in your sport, you're a part of history, Blake?
Being a first, I mean, man, hockey players are humble, right? So you kind of just put your head down and you keep going, but I didn't really realize the impact when I was, 23, 4 years old. I just was playing the game that I loved until someone told me that I was the first woman to be drafted in the first round of the CWHL and the first black woman to play in the NWHL. And then all of these dominoes just kept happening. And I look around and I'm like, yeah, That's the reason why I've been the only freaking black person in this sport my whole life.
It makes sense all of a sudden.
I guess I'm just spearheading this. But it's a wonderful thing.
So what is that like, though? You know, like, I was a part of a league in the WNBA that was 80% black women. So it was very different in that aspect. I felt very comfortable in the league because I was one of many. What is that like when you're playing a sport, growing up in a sport that you might be the only black person around in the sport?
First things first, you got to know what to do with the helmet and the hair. You got to rely on your mom. You got to get all your hair products. I went to boarding school for 4 years, and that was so hard for me up in Lake Placid, New York. I was like, there is no beauty supply store. And an hour away, right? So it was always just being prepared. It was always relying on my family to feel safe and protected. And then I always had really good coaches and leadership. Also, I was really good, too. So I never felt
talk
like...
Talk your talk!
I'm about to say.
Right? Like, I never really felt like I had to prove myself or to... I had to be me. And that's what I try to tell all the young girls that I mentor. I'm like, you just got to be you. You can't let all the other noise. Of course, bad things happen. Crap was said. But, like, if I can go put the puck in the net and quiet you down, like, that's going to make me feel great.
No, I love that because you basically said, I'm going to get it done on the ice. See, I'm so used to saying on the court. I'm going to get it done on the ice, and I'm going to let everything else take care of itself. Well, you definitely went about and did that. And so as you get older, certain things fall off of kids different, and certain things you don't realize maybe were a thing that you kind of just brushed off. Were there things that as you look back and you were like, man, as a kid, I really handled that well, considering, you know, I didn't know. Like, you know, like, were there any moments like that for you?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many moments. I mean, you just think of a little girl with a protective hairstyle walking into a rink with a hockey bag over her shoulder. One, I always played with boys, so I had to get dressed in the bathroom, like a public bathroom, before I could even join my boys' team. And two, I was the only black person, so I was just walking into the rink, and eyes just were immediately on me from the moment I entered those doors. And I was so young that I wasn't really understanding why that was the case until I got into my early teens, where words were used to try to hurt me at times, and me just having to ask my mom, and my mom having to deal with stuff in the stands, and us having to come together as a family and say, all right, this is what's going on. This is the situation. This is potentially why. You need to know that none of this has anything to do with you and who you are as a person. You are beautiful. You're bright. You are shining. And I'm just so grateful that I have family like that, that I could just be like, all right, it's not me. So there's nothing for me to really worry about.
That was a threat. All those attributes was the complete threat.
Yes,
everything they said was the threat. And that's what they wanted you to know. That's beautiful that they let you know that. So
yes.
No fear after that.
Yes.
Yes.
No fear.
No fear. Not even glitch.
There you
go. I was straight.
There you go.
I love that. What got you into hockey? Like, how did you even get introduced to hockey? Because that's just not a sport that is available at every school. It's just not necessarily something. So how did you get into it?
Yes, my mom was a single mother, and she had me when she was young. She was 21. She was a hustler. She was bagging papers on the side of the road for our Cleveland paper route for the plane dealer. Oh. And there was a police officer, his name was Leslie, whose favorite sport was ice hockey. Come to find out, Leslie worked part-time, and his side hustle was working at the Gund Arena for the Cleveland Lumberjacks, a minor pro team in Cleveland. And so when they linked up, he was like, you're attractive, let's get together, I think you're cute. They had a relationship, and from there, I just got to go to these hockey games for free, and I was like, this is the coolest game ever. I want to figure out how to play. And I was like, 6 years old.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Wow. That is amazing.
That's a young, yeah.
Wow. So you knew early on.
That's great.
I was going to ask Blake, what would be her advice to young ladies of our race who like hockey and want to get started? How would you, you know, what would be your advice to them?
I would just say, no matter if you feel a little bit insecure, because that, I don't even think that's the right word. If you feel a little bit scared, you don't need to. I would say to lean into it, because I think that that makes you better. It shows you what you're capable of and what you can handle. It makes you a stronger person. And honestly, this sport is scary. One, it was scary because I was the only Black person and sometimes the only girl there. And two, because it's a hard sport in general. Like, you're just on these really thin blades, yeah, and you're getting the crap knocked out of you, and you're falling down and you're getting back up. And I would just say, if you're looking for a game that's going to teach you a lot of lessons for the better, try it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you, because this, let me tell you, my family, talk about my children and myself, are very coordinated on the ground. On skates, it was the most tragic thing you've ever seen, because they're so athletic on the ground, but then you get on skates and it's like you've never walked before, so much less to be able to skate. And so, I mean, so my question is that even though you said at 6 years old you love this, could you already skate? Like, or did you learn how to skate in the sport? I mean, how did that even work? Like, the dynamic of just being able to skate is, till this day, we still can't do it. I can roller skate, but that blade is no joke with the ankles. So I want to know, how did you learn to skate? It's no joke with them ankles. So that's my question to you.
Nicole, I've actually never roller skated, so you got a one-up on me on that one. Yeah, it's a knock in my Black card for that. I need to get on them roller skates.
You got to come through the Cascade, man. When you come to the A, let's go to Cascade.
She's like, Cascade.
I'm ready. I it took me 2 years to learn how to stop on my left skate. So it wasn't like I got out there and was just doing dipsy dirtle doodle turns. Like, I really had to work for every inch of my development. I was sent away to all of these stay away camps and all of, like, I had Sunday morning power skating.
Okay.
I pushed around a cone and I had like this chair with tennis balls on the bottom of them so I could get my balance. Like, it was
that's what I would need. Yes.
Yeah, it was hard, but like, once you figure it out, it's like muscle memory, and then you get a good coach that can help you with your edge work. And I would say I'm a pretty good skater. I love it. It's so freeing. You carve into, it's like art almost, in my opinion. So I would say just try it out a little bit more, or I got you next time.
It's definitely an art. It is definitely an art. I will give you that 100%. I'm taking nothing away from that.
You know, something I always wanted to ask is, as a fan that doesn't necessarily know so much about hockey, the thing that casual fans see are the fights. How do hockey players feel about the actual fighting in hockey? Because to us, like for me, like, imagine on the WNBA court, if you could just box until somebody falls and then it's over. That's a wild thing. So how
do you?
I think
it's a great thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like,
I think,
they said, like, losing teeth is like, it's like a normal thing in the NHL.
Yeah. How do y'all feel about that? Like,
well, I'm just grateful that I have my teeth still. I have chipped teeth, but you know, we'll worry about that later. On the men's side, they really throw down. They don't have any facial protection really, and they can rip off their helmet and just go to town. In women's hockey, we have these cages that protect my, I would say, pretty face. So I don't really fight that much. But sometimes it's just an innate reaction.
Yes.
It's such a physical game that you just want to throw a punch, and you honestly know that you're genuinely not going to hurt the other person, because we all got equipment on.
That's
like, you'll
interesting.
Be fine. Like, you could take a couple smacks. You'll be all right.
But not to the mouth. Most of the hockey players I've seen, they got teeth missing. So something is happening. Somebody is getting
that's from the sticks. I heard that sometimes that's from the stick hitting back and different things of that nature.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay,
yeah,
that's so
what I'm
that
saying. Wait, we heard
me.
That that's a normal thing to lose teeth in hockey.
Yeah. That's the men can deal with that. The women haven't gotten to that.
Yeah, exactly.
A little different on the women's
side. Okay, so let me just real quick, I want to ask you real quick about being the first Black female pro scout for the Los Angeles Kings in the NHL and the second ever female pro scout in the NHL. again, are you tired of being the first for everything, girl? But amazing. I just want to give you flowers. But what is that like? Just being, I just love giving you all the flowers. But what is that like, you know, being in there and now at the highest of your profession, you're scouting?
Yes. It's wild because, one, I never thought I was going to get here. And I wouldn't say I'm sick of being the first. I think someone has to do it. And I'm proud to do it and I'm honored to do it. But I definitely do not want to be the last. I want to just, like, let's go. Come on. We need more women in hockey operations. We need more Black people. You know, in the NHL, there's 3% BIPOC. Like, that needs to go. All of that just needs to be shaken up and changed. So if I'm here to be a change agent, that's what I got to do. But scouting in and of itself is not glamorous. Like, I'm in San Jose in this hotel. I got to take a flight back to LA. Then I got to take a train to San Diego. Then I got to take a flight to Las Vegas. Like, I'm everywhere all the time. But you know what? I can respect it because it's almost like the guys that are trying to come up in the league, they're hustling and I'm hustling, trying to come up as a woman in this industry. So I'm enjoying it and I'm learning a lot because I know a lot about the game, but I don't know a lot about how teams operate in that way.
No, nice. I love it. Well, Blake, nice. We wish you so much more success. And if you got to be the first for 15 other things, just go ahead. We'll take it because it needs to be done. Representation matters. So we thank you for joining us here on Montgomery & Company. And again, we're starting to tap in now more and more, and we'll be following your journey.
Thanks, ladies. You guys have great energy. I hope to be back soon.
So as I was talking about the BET Awards and how about us showing up for us, we got to show up for BG. Her trial was just announced that it's going to begin July 1st. She appeared in court on July 27th. And according to Bleacher Report, Griner is facing 10 years in prison if convicted on charges of large-scale transportation of drugs. So as we show up for each other, we got to show up for Griner. It makes me think about Dawn Staley's tweet because all we can do is pray, but Dawn Staley tweeted, "Free Brittany Griner, 130 days and counting. We need to put out all the stops and get her out of Russia." And that's just how I feel. We gotta just stand up for each other and continue to show up. And we'll be here and show up every week with you guys because we're family. Catch us next week where it's a generational thing. Montgomery & Co.